You know, before believers were called Christians, they were called people of the way. The way. I like that. Because when everyone else and the whole world around them said, no way, they said, way. Way. Yahweh. That's right. Hallelujah. He's our way. This morning I'm preaching about preparing the way of the Lord. Before we understand what preparing the way of the Lord means, we need to understand a little bit about our way. About the way of God, the ways of God for us, the way, finding the way, walking in the way, preparing the way of the Lord. Liz and I just went to New York City this week for a little three-night stay, just on our own for a little anniversary trip. Had a fantastic time. It was our first time in the big city. And we got this map from the hotel. I'm usually very good with the directions and maps. We were there for 3 days, and it took me 2 days to figure out which way was up and which way was down. I couldn't find my way, because every time I came out of a subway station or out of a big building, I would look around. I'm from Canada. We used to look to the mountains. That's north. That's what we're used to. Or at nighttime, oh, there's the Big Dipper. We know which way is north. In the Big Apple, there's just subways and buildings, and I did not know which way was which. And so we were wandering around looking, and my wife was very patient with me, waiting for me to give her the map. But guys, as you know, asking for directions is always not the easiest thing to do. But sometimes it's because asking for directions from other people doesn't lead us to the way we want to go either. I found out when I moved down here very quickly that people have no idea what they're talking about. When we first moved to Elizabethtown, North Carolina, we were brand new to the country, needed to get a social security card and driver's license and all that jazz. And so I was trying to find the DMV. So this is a small town. I walked up to someone and said, can you tell me where the DMV is? Oh, absolutely. Make a left down this road and you turn right on Johnson, and right there, it's a big building, you can't miss it. Thought, easy enough. So I make a left down that road, right on Johnson, and it led me to an open field with nothing there. And I thought, either he's having a laugh or he has no idea what he's talking about. But it's not just a southern phenomenon. Actually, when we were visiting a place in Seattle, near Seattle, called Tacoma in Washington, and we were looking for the I-5, Interstate 5. It's like the main route, like 77 is for here. And we couldn't find it. We were lost, and so we stopped at a gas station and said, can you tell us where the I-5 is? And they said, I-5? And it's like, never heard of it. We're like, Interstate 5? They're like, I don't know about that. They had no clue. Well, we finally found ourselves on the map. We were two blocks away from the I-5. And this gentleman had no idea where he was. He didn't know the way. That's why we named that place Tacomatose instead of just Tacoma. But it can be tricky finding our way, can't it? In our spiritual journey, we maybe have a few indications from the Lord of where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do, but we have no earthly idea how to get there. The other challenge is that his ways are usually not our ways. Very rarely are his ways our ways, because they don't seem logical to us. He doesn't do what we would do. In fact, his ways are higher than our ways, Scripture tells us. So this morning I want to talk about the way of the Lord. I want to talk about three aspects to the way. Finding the way of the Lord, accepting the way of the Lord, and preparing the way of the Lord. And that's where we want to be, preparing the way of the Lord. Because when we prepare the way of the Lord, we're making way for his revival and his arrival. That's what we do when we prepare the way. It's being an ambassador, a minister, preparing the way for God to come to us, to come to people. That's where we want to be, but we have to understand the way first. We can't just prepare a way that we do not know. And so I want to talk about the path of the righteous, preparing the way of the Lord. So finding the way of the Lord, something we have to do on a regular basis. large part of it is because God doesn't give us the detailed list. You know when you pull up MapQuest or punch in something on your GPS, it can give you a detailed list. Right here, left here, right here, left here, straight for 2 miles, right. It's very comforting because you feel like it actually knows what it's talking about. And usually it does, sometimes it doesn't. But we like that detailed list, don't we? Because it makes it easy to follow. God doesn't give us a detailed list. He gives us an end point and says, now, find the way. And I think he does this because he knows that if he gave us a detailed list, we'd say, why would I turn left there, Lord? If I want to go over here, I should take a right up here. Because God's way is different than our ways. So he doesn't give us the list because we would disagree with the list. That's not the best way to get there during this time of day. You have to go this way. God has a way. He has a way. We have to find that way. So he doesn't give us that detailed list. But it's easy to miss some turns because we think we know better. And it's not uncommon for believers to have a hard time finding the way of the Lord. In fact, the disciples themselves had a hard time. I love the story in John 14. Jesus is saying to the disciples that he's going to go and leave and prepare a place for them. And then he says this, you know the way to where I'm going. And the disciples are kind of just sitting there going, yeah. Pretending like they know exactly what he's talking about, but you can kind of feel in the room their eyes looking at each other going, do you know what he's talking about? And nobody knew what he was talking about. He said, you know the way. And finally, Thomas plucks up courage and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can you even say we know the way there? I love it. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, you know the way because you know me. See, God's way is to know one thing, and that's Christ. So Jesus gives them the answer, to trust him, abide in him. Of course, this is easier said than done, isn't it? So the easy Sunday school answer. The answer is Jesus, right? Every time, Jesus. Well, what does that mean? How does that help us? It's the answer, but what does it mean to do that? What does it mean to walk in the way of the Lord, to find the way of the Lord? It's difficult. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? It's so true. God determines our steps. So how can we even know the way? But we're still meant to find his way. He wants us to find his way. See, it's like a connect the dot puzzle. You know when you open up those kids' books that have connect the dots and you have no idea what picture's about to be drawn. All you know is this dot, then this dot, then this dot, then this dot, and then you step back and you go, oh, it's a tiger. You know, you didn't know. And that's what God does with us. If he told us it was a tiger, we'd say, okay, I think the head's somewhere over here. We wouldn't follow the dots, and it would end up being a mess, wouldn't it? So he takes us dot by dot. We don't know the way, so he has to show us the way each and every time. Our steps are directed by the Lord. And we need to do this daily. Psalm 143, David says this, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. You hear what he's saying? There's some keys that David gives us here. He says, in the morning, let me know your unfailing love. It's like every morning David wakes up and says, God, I have to know today. Show me your way today. Show me your way. And he goes, for I lift up my soul to you. For I lift up my soul. That means to take everything that is him, his will, his strength, his heart. He says, I lift it up to you. Now show me the way. He's giving us the key to find the way of the Lord. We have to commit ourselves to the Lord. Commit our hearts fully. Commit your way to him. Isn't that what Proverbs says to us? Actually, we'll get that in a minute. But if we want to know God's way, commit your walk to him. More practically, start by committing your day to him. Start in the morning. Say, God, show me your way today. So many of us are in this fog and we don't know the way. So let's start and commit our day to him, commit our way to him, and do it with all your strength. Do it with all your strength as David did. In Psalm 84, it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. That pilgrimage is talking about the way. You've set your heart on the way. Your whole heart is after what God's after. It's this pilgrimage. It's this journey, and you've set your heart on it. But it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, They set their hearts on pilgrimage. Verse 7, they will go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. So if you want to go from strength to strength in your daily walk, instead of confusion to confusion, where most of us are, or ambiguity and not knowing, if you want to go from strength to strength, then set your heart on the way of God. Set your heart on that thing. Want it more than anything else. Want it more than breakfast, for starters. Want to know God's will. Want to know His way. You'll find it. You will find it, because Jeremiah 29 promises us that. Right after that famous verse that says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Right after that, He says, seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. See, if we set our heart to Him, He promises, you're going to find me. You're going to find my way if you seek me with all your heart. See, so many of us don't know the way to go because we're half-hearted. We want God, but we also want what we want. And so we need to set our hearts afresh. Do it every morning. Say, God, show me the way today. I set my heart on you. Now, lead me in the path. We will find His way if we seek Him with all our heart. And then go strength to strength in the way that He has for us. Amen. We need His strength to walk in His way. Did you know that? His way is supernatural. We need His supernatural strength to do it, because He's made us to do supernatural things. So the way He has you walk in, you have to have His strength. If you don't have His strength, you won't be able to walk the way. But He wants you. He says, seek me and find me. I'll give you the strength, strength to strength, to walk in the way of the Lord, to do extraordinary things. So we have to commit our all to Him, to find His way. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Or Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. It's this committing, this acknowledging of God in our lives. There's such freedom in these verses. I have found such freedom in these verses, because like many people, I've often been paralyzed by, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm in the fog, and I don't know the way. I know the end, but I don't know the way. I don't know how to get there. And so I find freedom in these verses, because it says, commit your way to Him and He'll do it. He'll straighten out your path. It can free us from inaction. Allow us to set our hearts on pilgrimage, to go after God in the journey. See, the enemy tries to use the fog, whether it's the fog of life or the fog that sometimes comes from the Lord. The enemy tries to use it to paralyze us with inaction and with fear. But the Lord says, no, commit your way to Him and He'll direct your path. I may have shared this story here before, but I often share it with young men and women who are looking for God's will and God's way in their life. I was 18 and about to finish high school. And all year long, I was praying to God, saying, God, what do you want me to do? I kind of felt two options, go off to Bible school or stay and help with the youth group, which I had been doing. And those were my two options that I felt were from the Lord. And so I said, God, tell me which one you want. And He wouldn't tell me. 9 months, I was banging on heaven's door. He would talk to me about anything else, but not that. And I was in the fog, and I said, I don't know what you want me to do. Tell me what you want to do, and I'll do it. Just tell me. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. But speak, please. I need to know. And for 9 months, this went on. I said, God, why won't you speak to me? Why won't you just tell me? Then I was at a conference, and someone stood up and said, there's someone here looking for road signs, but you're parked in the garage. Start driving and you'll see the road signs. And so I said, all right, God. I said, all right. I'm going to take that by faith. So I said, God, I'm going to go to Bible school. And as soon as I said that, He said, no, you're not. You're staying here and helping with the youth group. Well, you could have told me that and saved me 9 months, but I learned something very valuable. Very valuable. I committed my way to Him. When I made that decision, it wasn't like, fine, I'm just going to do this now. It was, God, I think this is you, so I'm going to start walking here. You're big enough to lead, to direct my path, to change my course if it's not you. And that's how I've walked ever since, when my life has been so much uncertainty, green card waiting for 6 years. You know, we just had that breakthrough this last week. We give praise to God for that. But for 6 years, I had to walk through. If they say no, I have 30 days to leave the country. I had this uncertainty hanging over my head. But I just had to say, God, you've called me here, and until you give me a road sign saying otherwise, I'm going to just walk like this is where I'm supposed to be. And so that word can help you. Commit your way to the Lord, and he will direct your path. It can free you from inaction. See, I could have sat and waited and said, I don't want to give my heart to this because I don't know if God wants me here or not. Just start walking the path. Say, God, I think this is you. I think this is you. And start walking and let him direct your path. Commit your way to the Lord, and he will direct your path. Amen. So that's the first part, finding God's will. We find it by committing our way to him, giving our heart to this journey. The second part I want to talk about is accepting God's way. This is a major struggle for a lot of us because after we've wrestled with God to find the way, we think, okay, this has been such a wrestle. I finally have the answer. Now it should be clear sailing. Now it should be downhill from here. It's been uphill to this point. Now I have the way of the Lord. I have the will, I know, and so now it should be clear sailing. It's so often not. But we get thrown by that. We think, God, you called me to do this. Why? Why is my way so hard now? If you wanted me to do this, why aren't you opening the doors? And we mistake struggle and pain and toil on the way that he's leading us to. We mistake that for, I must have missed the way. Yeah, come on. I must have missed the way. But if we know it's God, if he's given us the way, then it has to be a heart thing where we accept the way, no matter how it looks. No matter how it looks. And we have to remember that God's ways are not our ways. They really are not. And this is really evident in this moment because God, our ways don't include suffering. Our ways don't include pain. But God's often do. God's ways often do include suffering and pain. But remember, his ways are higher than our ways. And remember what he said in Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, the way I have for you. It's for your prosperity and not for your harm. So even when we're in suffering and pain, we can hold on to the truth of who God is and say, God, you led me on this way. I'm going on this way. And I know this will end up not for my harm. As much as I feel harm now, it's ending up with my prosperity because you promised me. You promised me. So his ways, we have to accept, we have to learn to trust God, accept his ways. The Israelites had a hard time with this in the wilderness, a really hard time. And you can say, well, it's their fault because they came to the promised land and they wouldn't go into God's way. So they went their own way back into the wilderness. And you think, you know, their fear and doubt and sin forced them in there. So it's not God's fault, it's their fault. It's not God's way, it's their way. This is where a lot of us miss it. We think just because we've not walked our life perfectly or not done what God wanted us to do, that therefore we're on our own. It's my way now, and I need to find my way back to God's way. Guess what God said? He said, I led you in the wilderness for 40 years. Right. Who led them? Right. God led them in the wilderness. Fire by night, cloud by day. Every single day he was leading them. Right. It was his way, even though they wasn't God's perfect will, even though they hit that wall and bounced back and were kind of, they thought, aimlessly wandering, but God said, no, you're following the cloud and the fire. You're following me. Even when you miss the target, I have a way for you. I have a way. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Moses says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert for these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your hearts, whether or not you would keep his commands. God led you all the way. For the believer, for those who have their hearts set on pilgrimage, God will lead you all the way. Even when you mess up and fail, he will still lead you all the way. It's his way. Whether the wilderness is of your making or not, we need to accept the way of the Lord. Numbers 21, it tells us what happens at the end of their 40 years. It says that they, the Israelites, traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They grew impatient on the way that God was leading them. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert?" Sounds familiar, like what they said 40 years before that. 3 days into the journey, "Why have you led us here to die?" 40 years later, they're at the same, singing the same tune. "Why have you led us here to die in the wilderness?" They said, "There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." You see their struggle with God's way? God was the one leading them in the wilderness. It was to test them and see what was in their hearts, but they couldn't accept the struggle. They couldn't accept the wilderness as God's way. They couldn't accept it. And so they became embittered at God and at Moses. And they said, "There's no water." Never mind the fact that God had miraculously supplied. And they said, "There's no bread." Manna. Well, about the manna, they said, "We detest it." You see what happens when you don't accept the way of God? You become bitter towards the provision of God. The very provision of God for you, you begin to detest. You say, "I don't want it. I don't want your ways, God. It's not what I want." You know, what happened next was God released poisonous snakes among the people. And Moses had to make the bronze snake and hold it up, and all those who looked at the snake wouldn't die from the poisonous snake bites. They became ungrateful, miserable people. Let's learn from this. Let's learn from this and not have poisonous snakes spring up in our midst. It may not happen in the natural, but you know what happens? Your worldview and your perspective gets poisoned. All you see is negative. All you see is what you don't have. That's what happens when you don't accept the way. Trusting God in His goodness and being thankful. Don't ever discount the power of thankfulness. The lack of it results in a poisoned worldview. Absolutely poisonous, venomous. It'll happen to each one of us if we're not thankful, if we don't accept the way God has for us. Contrast that miserable ungratefulness with Psalm 89, verse 15, that says, "Blessed or happy," Asher, that's the word, "blessed or happy are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence." We have to learn to say, "God, I give you glory. I give you thanks. I walk in this way. I walk in the light of your way, the path you've put in front of me. Even if it's not my way, I acclaim you. I say, thank you, God." We have to accept God's way. Confess it. If you just think it, it's not as powerful. Confess it. Speak it out loud. "God, thank you for your blessings." Speak out, acclaim God out loud and see what it does. If you do, you'll become like Job, who had learned to acclaim God. He said, "God, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." Job knew how to accept God's way. Yes, he struggled with the seeming injustice of his predicament. It's not that we can't struggle. It's not like God has no compassion for us when we're being tested on the way, but accept God's way. Trust in who God is. Look what Job says in chapter 23, verse 10. "But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." You see, here's a man who accepted the way of God. He said, "You know my way, Lord. It's your way. My way, I've set my heart on pilgrimage. I've set my heart on your way. You know my way. You know my struggles. And I'm going to accept it as the testing of God. And when you've tested me, I will come forth as gold." I love the man Job. I love his heart after God. He accepted the way. God knows the way that you take, saints. He knows the way that you take. He is faithful and true. But we have a choice. The choice to accept the way of the Lord or to look for an alternative route. This is what this choice is shown to us in Jeremiah 6. This is what the Lord says: "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. See, we have a choice daily whether we're going to follow God's way. Every day we come up to this intersection. God's way, or we look down the path. We look, and man, our flesh and the enemy of our souls keep saying, look at this other way. Look how much easier this way looks. But you know what? The other way never leads to rest for our souls. It never satisfies. Only the good way does. Only His way does. So we have to make a choice. Sometimes God's way is hard, full of testing and trials. Many have tried plan B. I've tried plan B lots of times and failed. You know what? I don't think it's wrong to ask God for plan B. Jesus asked for plan B when he was in Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, is there any other way? Is there another way, Lord? But what did he say? But Lord, not my will, not my way, but your way. See, he accepted the way of God all the way to the cross. We have to accept God's way. The cross would not have been our way. It wouldn't have been our idea. But what a fantastic way. What a way to reconcile God and man. What a way to bring eternal hope and life to all the saints. And what a way for Jesus to overcome death and be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a way God has. See, in the midst of hardship, of trials, God's way is always for our good, always for our prosperity. His ways are higher, so much higher than our ways. Even through suffering and pain, it's higher, it's better. God has something better planned for us. So finding God's way is important, and then accepting God's way is the next step. Even if it looks different than the way we would choose. But if we can learn to do these two things, saints, if we can learn to find God's way and accept God's way, then we can get down to business. We can get down to preparing the way of the Lord. Preparing the way of the Lord. That's what it's all about. It means welcoming His revival in our lives. Welcoming His arrival in our midst. And it will happen in multiple stages. It can happen now, and it will happen at His coming. See, so much of prophecy in Scripture is like that. It comes in layers. The preparing the way of the Lord is about preparing for His end time harvest, for Him coming, but it also means now. We can prepare the way for the Lord now. He can visit us now. And it's fulfilled in more than one way. It's also fulfilled in a personal and in a corporate sense. We can prepare the way for the Lord in our own lives, for Him to come and dwell afresh with us and live through us and establish His kingdom through us individually. But we must realize also that His way, the way of the Lord, is so much bigger than my way. It's so much bigger than even the road He has me on His way. It's bigger than all that. It's all together, the saints of God, laying down their way to build up the highway of God. That's when the way of the Lord is built up. When you and I take our way, even the way the Lord has us on, and we lay it down. We say, Lord, your way. Your way, your way. And we build up this highway. Welcome His coming when we do that. I had a real example of this in my own life this week. On Wednesday, Liz and I flew from New York City into Charlotte, and that night we were leading worship at a senior school retreat, the school that Liz taught at for the last couple of years, asked us to come and lead the senior retreat for their 12th graders in worship. And so we were glad to. We did it the year before, and so we were glad to. And we were a little bit tired, but we thought, you know what, God, you're definitely in this. And so we showed up to prepare for worship and to lead them in worship, but they were playing games, and there was other things going on, and it took a long time. And it was just like all the icebreaker games were just going forever, and I'm tired. I just traveled. And I could kind of feel like, I could sense in my spirit God wanted to do something big. And so I just stepped outside and began to pray. And I just said, God, I know you're up to something here. I know you want to do something big. And I began to pray, and I felt his leading and his guiding, but I began to understand a little bit of his heart for what he wanted to do. And so I said, God, you know, I said, I'm not interested in just a nice time of worship. I'm not interested in just having a sing-song, Lord. Lord, I'm interested in seeing, you know, your power hit these kids. I'm interested in seeing, you know, all these things. And I kept saying, Lord, I'm not interested in this. I'm interested in this. And all of a sudden, he stopped me mid-sentence and goes, what about what I'm interested in? And I'm like, but God, all these things I'm interested in are good things. He said, yes, but what about what I'm interested in tonight? See, the way that God had me on was to lead worship. That's part of the way he has me on. But I think it looks a certain way. But he said, what about what I'm interested in? What about my way tonight? So I just said, absolutely. God, have your way. And we had a great time of worship. But you know when God really, really, really showed up? When the kids were sharing after the worship. They started sharing. And it's all of a sudden this water began to rise. And the Lord just went, and took over the whole meeting. The kids were crying and repenting. It didn't come the way I thought it would. And so even in our way, the way that God has for us, we have to say, Lord, I lay it down. I lay it down and say, your will be done. And that's what happens. We prepare the way for the Lord when we lay down our way. Believer after believer, laying down their way until it becomes a highway to prepare the way for the Lord. That's what happens. That's what he does. So we've already read in Isaiah 40. Preparing the way of the Lord. A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. There's three things I want to pull out of this for us in preparing the way of the Lord. The first is you notice where and the location of the call. And the location of the way. See, a lot of us are used to hearing John saying, I am the voice in the wilderness crying, prepare the way for the Lord. If we read it in Isaiah here, it says, a voice of one calling, and then the quotation marks start. In the desert, prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. I think this is just God's way. He finds us in the desert, in the wilderness, and he says, that's where I want to meet you. That's where I want to come to you. I want to revive you there. I want to come to you in the desert. I want to come to you in the wilderness. Let the voice cry out. Let the call of faith go forward saying, God, we prepare the way of the Lord. Even in the midst of the dry, arid, waterless place. There is no food. There is no water. But prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. All sorts of spiritual parallels and confirmations of this, but God wants to meet us right there, right in the middle of the desert. He wants us to build up a highway right in the middle of the wilderness. The Israeli wilderness is so rocky and rugged. God, don't you want to build your highway somewhere else? No, right there. In the stoniest ground you can imagine, in the most rugged terrain, he says, there, prepare the way for the Lord. It's not just about God coming to you and me, though, to revive us in the wilderness. It's about making a way for people to come to God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 57, just a few pages over. We're going to read four passages out of Isaiah that all have to do with the preparing the way. Isaiah 57 talks about God bringing revival to those who need it most. In verse 14, and it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. See, the coming of the Lord brings revival. It brings revival to those who need it most, to the lowly, to those who are contrite. And yes, these are attitudes, hard attitudes that we need to have so God can, we can prepare the way for the Lord to come to us, but it also means preparing the way for those people, for the people who are lowly, who are contrite. We'll see this again in chapter 62. Turn over another couple pages. It's about ministering to people. Chapter 62, verse 10 says, pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. It's about the people. Prepare the way for the people. You want to prepare the way for the Lord? Then prepare a way for people. Raise the banner for the nations. See, it's a two-way street, isn't it? Preparing the highway for God, His highway is a two-way street. It's Him coming to people and preparing the way for people to go up to God. I love the ways of the Lord. Build up that highway to be the ambassadors of heaven. To be the reconciliators of reconciling God to man. That's what we're called to do. That's what it means to prepare the way of the Lord. Taking God and man and making a highway. But in Isaiah 40, we read two very important things that happened. It talks a lot about the ground that has to be prepared for this highway. But two main ones that I want to talk about. It says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. Those are two main things that have to happen. I think when I read the scripture, I think of when I drive through the Canadian Rockies and the roads that are carved into the mountain and going over valleys. You see it to an extent in the Blue Ridge Parkway. You see what they had to do to prepare that highway. They had to put bridges over massive ravines. They had to build up the road in places. They had to put detonations in the mountain to bring it down, to carve a highway. These are the two things we must do to prepare the way for the Lord. Bring up the valleys and bring down the high places. And that bringing up the valleys, I believe, is ministering to those who need to be brought up. Right. It's ministering to the needy, ministering to the oppressed. And that's not just my idea. Look at Isaiah 35. In verse 1, it talks about the desert and parched land being revived. Revival coming to the desert. And then it says in verse 3, strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution to save you. I actually like how the New American Standard puts this. It says, encourage the exhausted. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious hearts, take courage. Do not be afraid. See, those are the actions of filling up this valley. And look in verse 8. What happens when we do this? And a highway will be there. Says in Isaiah 35 verse 8. A highway will be there when we do this. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. In what way? In preparing the way of the Lord. In lifting up the needy. A highway will be there. Isaiah 58 also tells us about giving of ourselves. It says, when you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry, what happens? What happens to you when you do that? It says, He satisfies the needs of the oppressed. When you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then the Lord will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. You will be like a well-watered garden. See what happens? Revival comes to you when you bring the way of the Lord to other people. You want to prepare the way for the Lord? Bring the highway down there. Bring the valleys up and watch God move in their life and bring refreshment and revival to your life. That's God's way. That's the way of the Lord. This revival comes as we minister to the needy. As we fill up this valley, we prepare a way for the people, and God prepares the way for His visitation. I see it kind of like rolling out the red carpet. When we hear prepare the way of the Lord, when there's a king or queen or royalty, they roll out the red carpet, don't they? to prepare the way. You want to prepare the way for God? Minister to the needy. That's a red carpet to him. And he's like a bull seeing red. He loves it. Can't stop but come there. Roll out the red carpet. Minister to the needy and oppressed around. That's God's way. Now we have the other side of the coin. It's that every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And here, I don't believe it means bringing people low. Of course, we can bring ourselves low and the things that occupy places they shouldn't occupy in our lives. It's a little bit about that. But our place is not to bring people low. Our place is to bring people up. But we do have a place in tearing down something. It's tearing down strongholds. But that effort, that battle is not with people, but rather with principalities and powers and rulers of this dark age. 2 Corinthians 10:4 tells us we have a supernatural wrecking ball. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, that's what it says. It says we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we're supposed to run a spiritual demolition derby. You know, I always knew deep down inside that my fascination with demolition wasn't all bad. You know, anytime they put explosives in a building, an old building, and they bring it down, and I watch as this thing goes. Or reveling in the power of taking cars and crushing them into little cubes. I like demolition. Yesterday, I was doing some yard work. You might see me limping around here. Actually, I pulled my Achilles tendon in my effort to bring down the high places yesterday in my yard. There was a tree that was very high, about 30 feet tall. But at the top, there were some dead branches that were hanging over the grass in the playground. And I've been looking at that for a couple weeks thinking, in a big windstorm, those could come down. I don't want those hitting my kids while they're out running. So I'd been strategizing and planning. How am I going to bring this high thing down? And so I finally went at it yesterday. And all sorts of different things. This thing's 30 feet high. I tried a ladder. It was only 20 feet. You have to get a rope. I wanted to get a rope over the thing so I could pull it down. I tried climbing the tree. I couldn't climb it. The branches were too weak. Liz is sitting there shaking her head, saying this is a bad idea. But I had to see the high thing come down. I was convinced. And so I eventually took a baseball. This is what I know. Took a baseball and I put it in a mitten and wrapped a rope around it so I could get some weight. See, I couldn't throw the rope that high. First, I tried a really thick rope to pull down, but it was too thick. I didn't have the strength to throw it high enough. That's when I tried the ladder, and it still is weak. If you'd been watching, you would have been laughing a lot. Many, many failures. But so the thick rope didn't work, so then I tried a really, really thin thread, and I thought, well, if I can loop that over and then tie the thin thread to the thick rope and stretch it over. Well, the thread was too thin, and it just broke. So, finally, I found a medium-sized rope, and I wrapped it around this glove and baseball, and I tied it and then wrapped the loose rope around the baseball so it had more girth and velocity and power. So then I threw, and I was throwing and throwing. That's when I ended up pulling my Achilles. But I just threw, and finally I got it over. But the baseball didn't weigh enough to go to get to drop down. So a couple of failed attempts at that, and finally Liz said, well, you just wind it around like a hangman's noose around the baseball and then just pull. So that's what I did, and pull, and down came the high thing with a mighty crash. And I rejoiced. After an hour's labor at the behest of my wife, who said, we have other more important things to do than this. But I like demolition. I like bringing things down. Because it's godly to bring down the high thing. To enjoy demolition a little bit. After all, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the destroyer. That's what he came to do. To deal destruction to the destroyer. And we can enjoy that, but not in a gloating sense. Jesus said to his disciples, do not rejoice that the evil spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. See, Jesus is saying, yeah, they do submit to you. You do have power to pull down high things, but that's not your focus. Your focus is to tear down the high thing so that what? You can prepare the way of the Lord. The purpose of bringing it down isn't for the sake of bringing it down. It's to prepare for the good. And so we need to remember to focus on the right things. Focus on something greater. We're here to tear down so that we can build up. We need to make sure our focus is there. The Word of God says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A lot of us read that and forget the last two words. We think, I'm going to overcome evil. Ha! I'm going to put on my spiritual army boots and we're going to do this thing. If our focus is there, we end up in trouble. We end up fighting a battle we weren't meant to fight. We should be tearing down the high things, but focusing on the building up, focusing on the good, overcome evil with good. We need to do that in our own lives. Too often we get focused on beating this problem, too focused on my bad predicament. And when we try to overcome sin, and we just try to overcome it and overcome it with our strength and with our power, we're forgetting what this says. Overcome evil with good. Do good. Focus on the good, and it will overcome evil, because it's God's power to do. So we need to focus on the right things. Replace sin with acts of kindness and righteousness. Get busy doing the good that God has called you to do, and then we will be building up the road. Because a lot of the good that God would have us to do is to fill up the valleys, is to bring up the needy. And if we're just focused on trying to rid ourselves of the evil, we'll never get to building up the highway for our God. So get to work doing good, overcoming evil by doing good. Yes, let God refine you. Yes, let God tear down the high places in your life, but your focus should be on the good that He has for you to do, which is on other people, bringing up, preparing the path, preparing the way for the people, to remove the stones. How many times did we hear that? Build up the road, remove the obstacles, remove the stones, clear a path. That's our job on behalf of other people. And it will include bringing down spirits of wickedness and darkness that raise themselves up against Christ. But our focus is on something greater than that. Our focus is on the arrival of God. God's return. Preparing the way of the Lord. This is the path of the righteous. And we're promised that the path of the righteous is like the first light of dawn. And it gets brighter and brighter till the full light of day. Are you in the fog? Some of us are. A lot of us are from time to time. Every day we need to seek God for His will. But God promises you that if you prepare the way for the Lord, accept His path, His way for your life, and prepare the way for other people, that's the path of the righteous, and your path will get brighter and brighter and brighter. So this morning I want to encourage you, set your hearts on pilgrimage. Find the way of the Lord by committing your heart and all your strength unto the Lord daily. Seeking Him with all your heart until you find His way. His way is out there. He's not hiding it from you to play a game. He wants you to throw your whole energy, your whole heart, all your strength at this thing as to finding His will, finding His way. Because He knows that we need His strength to do His way. That's why sometimes He withholds. Because we have to find the strength of the Lord, and we can only receive the strength of the Lord when we give it all to God. So, commit yourself to the Lord. Find His way. And then stand at the crossroads. As often as it comes up, as often as you reach that intersection, stand at the crossroads and look. And ask where the good way is. Ask where God's way is. And don't always be looking for grass is greener, but accept the way of God for you. And if we do that, remembering that God promises to prosper us and not to harm us, see, His ways are good. Bible says His way is perfect. If we learn that and accept that, learn to acclaim Him for who He is, then finally my prayer this morning is that each of us may become ambassadors of heaven by building up the highway for the people. building up the highway, ministering to the oppressed and the needy, and tearing down spiritual high places, overcoming evil with good, and laying down our way to prepare the way for the Lord, to prepare for His arrival, prepare for His revival. And His promise is that one day, we will experience it in part between now and that day, but one day, He will come. The Lord of glory will come in power and in authority and in splendor and in majesty. And in all the ways that He comes, He will come. And He will raise every valley and bring every high thing down at the splendor of His coming. But we have a part. All the action words are here for us now. Build up the road. Prepare the way for the Lord. He invites us to partner with Him, be ambassadors of heaven, to reconcile heaven and earth and make a two-way street for God to meet people and people to meet God. And all flesh will see it because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. Let's stand and pray. My great high King of heaven, I thank You for Your ways, Lord. I thank You that Your ways are infinitely higher than our ways. Lord, I ask this morning that each man and woman in this place, Lord, would become the ambassadors of heaven that You desire us to be. Lord, that we would build up the road. We'd build up the road. We'd fill in the valleys. We'd bring down the high places, Lord. All for the glory of our God. All for the way of the Lord to be made straight. Lord, we thank You for Your power and Your authority and Your might, Lord, which comes in grace and in power, in grace and in truth. Lord, ministering to us when we're low and bringing down the high things in us that need removing. Lord, I ask that You would do Your work. You prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts first and foremost. But Lord, let us not forsake the call to prepare the way of the Lord, to fill up the valleys, to build up a highway for our God, so that the mouth of the Lord may speak and the visitation of the Lord may come. Lord, we commit our way to You this morning. And we say, God, King of glory, we lift up our heads this morning. We lift up our heads that the King of glory may come in. Come in, Lord, and have Your way. Come have Your way, Lord. Lord, let it be Your way, not our way. Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We submit ourselves to You and we say, God, come and have Your way this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.